Blog Talk Radio.
Takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports Index.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trucking in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Well, first of all, the press box. You got the AC on like it's ain't been like summer the last 2 days here in New York City, which makes me so redundantly think about the song, how at this time of year, especially me, I think about being in Fortaleza, 88, 92 every day. Now, hear me. What's it up? Block Dr. Radio, Fiston Garden, Network, Lively, Home of Life, Fitted. I will get. That's one doing well. Standing, you said today, 27-9. Start the third quarter. Play some horrible football. Salute, Dick Mango. Inducted into the Judge Ring of Honor today. And 19th member was a 29th pick in the first round for the Jets. Number 74 here with his family as he joined the Ring of Honor. And the Walker. And a great center out of Ohio State. Bessie's here with us for trouble. And also got a little guest sports right here from the New York Beacon. We have to open up the show. Sunday, baby. We got to do a gospel song. Been the greatest gospel singer of all time, one of the greatest R&B singers of all time, the man who was the segue The artists are going to gospel music. The late. Unquestionably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a woman in the Bible days. She had been sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by. So she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said, "It was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now." She stood there crying,
this is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
No, it's the song that my mom's taught me as a kid at the Catholic school. Think about my mom last night. I see you again. Rest on Jesus. And this Sunday. Always give it in totality to the good Lord Jesus. Praise Lord Jesus. Amen. Just was it to not yell because it's being here.
Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God World Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Sammy. Take it away, good Doc.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio. I trust you guys know it. We've got a Mr. Vickin, can you introduce yourself? Did you join us today?
Yes, this is Darrell Jazz Johnson. Thank you for having me, Doc.
Yeah, and legendary New York Vickin, yeah, DJ. And Dusty, we got you here. DJ,
yeah, how are we doing?
Hey, that's hold on, Dusty. DJ, not too much happening down here in the football field, is it? If you're a Jet.
Yeah, the Jets are barely keeping a pulse alive in this game. The offense has been putrid. They've managed only three field goals. I think that blowout that we were anticipating is on the way soon.
Yeah, but DJ, I think we can say that they keep shooting themselves in the foot. A couple of passes that should have been caught, a couple of penalties. No, they're not helping themselves.
They most certainly not. And we talked about it before, the big turnover that they got. They really needed to convert that into a touchdown, and they weren't even able to get a field a first down, and ended up kicking another field goal. So, it's been a tough game, but this was anticipated. The Jets did get a surprise victory last weekend, but you know, hosting the Cincinnati Bengals was, you know, a loss coming in for any realistic Jets fan, even if you had Zach Wilson. Now, when you put Joe Flacco under center, you expect even less from the offense, and unfortunately, that is what we have gotten so far today.
Yeah, I know you're going to run and eat, but you can come back and join us, but real quick before you run, come back. That Spence, we got Crawford coming. You said you're leaning towards Spence, and you would do unconditionally, and not for the car accident. Do you like Spence against Crawford there, DJ?
Yes. From the beginning when Bud moved up and Spence and Crawford were in the same division, I gave an edge to Spence. He is bigger. It's debatable whether he's stronger, but Spence is the naturally bigger fighter. I also like Spence is a elite body puncher. They're both great fighters. I obviously wouldn't be surprised if Crawford won, but I would lean towards Spence in a decision. I don't see Spence knocking out Bud. I don't see Bud knocking out Spence, but I would see Spence winning by decision.
Voice of Wisdom, DJ, one of the top sports writers, not in New York City, but in the country. DJ, I know you got to run. Come on back, get the food there, so we're still going to be on. Thanks for joining us, and hope you can get back to us.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Doc.
Thanks, DJ. Yeah, we'll be here. Phil Johnson, one of the top sports writers in New York, one of the top head coaches at AAA. A guy that seems older than what he is because of his intellect and wisdom. I want to credit to the race, the human race. DJ, thanks, baby. And Desi, with that, I'm going to, because I like that to set up. You can write into boxing. We both said, too, you know, the car accident has played such a vital part in Spence. Are we ever going to see him 100% Dusty after the car accident?
Spence? Well,
yeah.
Spence, well, who's he fought? Ugas and Danny Garcia.
Number 77,
hello?
That's the best part. He's in midlife right now.
Okay, he fought Danny Swift Garcia.
Yeah.
he looked good, but then again, that was expected. Garcia, you know, still the same Garcia, although he looked very good in the junior middleweight the other day with Benavides. But then he fought Ugas, who surprised me, getting beat that bad, and really. But the fact of the matter is that you got a Crawford who's super ambidextrous, and that's a big plus. And Crawford is going to fight Spence at his game, which is southpaw. The only difference is the fact that Crawford, well, not so much difference. Crawford is going into Spence's wheelhouse where he's been a 47 all along, but Crawford is also a 47. And he'll stay there. He's weighed as much as 160. So the fact of the matter is that going into each other's wheelhouse is it's an even thing. Now it's to who wants it more, who can connect more, who can out-ring generalship each the person, and that'll be it. Yes, Spence has a better machinery, a body punch. I haven't seen Crawford do much of that, but Spence is a vicious body. In fact, yesterday, Friday, I saw Shakur Stevenson, another southpaw, who lost his titles on the weight scale, a stupid dude. But what I'm saying here is that he beat his opponent by body shots. And that destroyed, you know, killed the body and the head dies. And this is
Two questions here, Dusty. And the first one is, if Crawford decides to fight Sauber, then we can have more of a boring fight as opposed to if he goes conventional, have more of an exciting fight. That's question number one. Question number two, Dusty, why? I guess I know why. It's the trainers. Why is, I mean, there were some guys who were great at body punches than the others, but why is it no longer a part of what's done in boxing, Dusty?
Wait a minute. Why?
Body punches. I mean, it's a lost art.
Well, it's a lost art because everybody stupidly sees that eight circumference head. And all you want to do is pound your head, man. You're an ex-cop, okay? When you say you draw your weapon, what do you shoot? Center mass, which is the biggest part of the target. What is the body in boxing? The biggest part of the target is your body. These dudes throw punches. They want to hit you in the head and hit you in your head and forget that you have a body that will do more damage. If injured, then energy. So that's basically what it is. And Spence is one of these dudes who will pound your body. Saturday night, you saw Canelo Alvarez, I mean, pounding the heck out of Triple G, you know, and that body, and Triple G was going backwards for the whole entire fight. I mean, when you pound dudes at their body, they're going to feel it. I mean, You may not knock them down, but you're weakening them. I mean, here you got the liver, you got the kidneys, you got the solar plexus, you got the heart, you got the chest. Those things take a lot out of you. You got a punch in the heart, which Ray Robinson did to Gene Fulmer, will stop you dead in the tracks. But these guys just go for the head, the knockout, the knock. Come on, man. Wake up. So that's basically what it is. This is why, I mean, your previous guest, he mentioned Spencer. I have to lean towards what he's saying about Spencer and the body because he's a good body puncher. But then again, I cannot discount Crawford's ability to fight. I mean, he's the best to me ambidextrous fighter. He can fight you right-handed or left-handed. He's a dude that will, in the same round, will switch from right to left or left to right and fight you with no problem. You know, yes, you ran into a killer like Sean Porter, which the fight should not have been stopped because Porter was winning by 3 points. and the father panicked and stopped it. He ran into dudes like Sean Porter. Sean Porter put the two of them to test. He beat them both. He pounded them both, even though he lost to both of them. But he brought out the weaknesses in both of them. Now I'm very sure they both are studying that film, the individual film with Sean Porter, and to correct what they could not correct in that fight. But I don't understand why they want to get to the head and pound the head. And sure, you knock out a dude, you hit him on the temple, you hit him behind the ear, you hit him on his nose. But the body is equivalent to a victory because you weaken the dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, Mexicans are known to be body killers. Chavez, Canelo, you name it. These guys will take your head off killing your body first. How did Canelo beat all most of these guys? Shots to the body. Beatings to the body, and then he got to them. Caleb Plant blasted him to the body until finally he couldn't keep his hands up. Triple G in the second fight. Triple G was breathing with his mouth open by the seventh round. I was afraid that Canelo would hit him and crack his jaw. And even and Sanchez, his trainer was telling him, "You're losing. You stop backing up." But the dude couldn't help it because he was getting a vicious body beating, and he had to protect his elbows and his ribs and his arms. So you ask me the question. This is basically why not so much a lost heart. It's a carelessness on the trainer and the fighter themselves to not concentrate on body punching. So I really, you know, that's something that they're doing stupidly. So I don't understand why they're not concentrating on body punches. But
here's something talking to, and we want to take a moment to salute Nick Mangold, who was inducted into the New York Jets Ring of Honor, number 74. He's the 19th member, 29th pick in the first round. And our esteemed boxing colleague, June Gilberto Ortiz, TKO, said, you know, after seeing Triple G in the last fight, he thinks Triple G is done. He thinks Triple G is just, he's done.
Well, Doc, let me tell you, I'm glad June said it, Manny said it, because as soon as the first bell rang, I felt, and with all the respect to Triple G, that he was in for a payday. He knew he couldn't, he looked old. He looked like him saying, let me protect my ribs, because I remember the other beating. He was gun-shy. You know, in fact, overall, that fight was a sloppy fight. It was a sloppy fight. Mm-hmm. Canelo was not the same, but he couldn't be the same. There was Triple G who was backing up all the time, and Canelo had to chase him. Was saved Triple G from being knocked out is, yes, his formidable jab. He has a jab that's a piston, that's a punishing jab. I associate him with Larry Holmes. That jab of Triple G is a monster. I remember Jack Blackburn when he said, I'm going to make Joe Louis's jab a knockout punch, which is, you know, you and I know that's impossible, but it's so devastating, so painful, such a punishing machine, which is the number one obstacle, that hurt and deter a fighter from doing anything. So this is basically what I'm saying, that Triple G looks old. I mean, no matter what the guy who trained Klitschko was telling him, you got to do this, you got to do this, he wasn't doing anything. He was just nodding his head, yes, 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 but he wasn't doing anything. Canelo got tired in the 10th or 11th round. That's what Triple G looked good. But throughout, you know, I actually, with all due respect to Triple G, I gave Canelo the first six rounds cleanly because there was nothing. Maybe the seventh or eighth, I think I called one of them even. But Triple G was not doing anything except, like I said, picking up a nice lucrative payday. But then again, I'm still champion. I'm the champion of the middleweight. I'll continue fighting. And, of course, he'll make a few dollars. But
is there really such thing as an even round? And you know, if you know, his hand up, is there really such thing as an even round? I mean, give me an opinion.
Yes, I believe there is an even round. I'll give you the perfect basic example of the even round. You don't have to agree with me if I think I'm crazy, but the last...
Well, I know you're crazy, well, Jesse. I know you're crazy. That's a foregone conclusion. That's a foregone conclusion.
That's funny. The 12th round of the first fight between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Okay, Wilder, I said it was round. It's even. Deontay Wilder knocked him down. Tyson Fury was flat like a pancake. I didn't think he was going to get up. He got up. Okay? He got up. And when Deontay was ready to kill him, Tyson Fury, people don't know this. I mean, these are the things that they got to notice. Threw a right hand straight between Deontay Wilder's guard and stopped him dead in his track and staggered him. From then on, it was a give me, you hit me, you. It was a PS6 brawl, as they say. Okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe the judges, because of the knockdown, will say, well, a knockdown, he gets an extra point. But to me, I call that 12th round even because they pounded each other. Tyson Fury did not knock Wilder down in the 12th round, but despite that knockdown that he suffered, he battered. Wilder. That to me, and yes, it should be. Now, what is the definition for the even round? Hey, you hit me, Doc, with a solid punch, and then I hit you with a solid punch. We stand there, back, and we batter each other. I have to call it an even round because no one, in my opinion, as a judge, had the advantage over the other. You see my point? That's why an even round is justified. And, of course, it's up to the judges to see, they were even. He didn't hurt this guy or he didn't hurt that guy or this guy hurt him in 30 seconds and then 40 seconds later he hurt the opponent and they both.
No. I just need to hear me. Listen, hold tight. We're going to talk baseball. I'm going to do a quick commercial. Don't you move.
Yeah.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala, Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E
estou ouvindo. Radio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço. Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
Eita, menino. Quer dizer que agora é internacional, é?
Yes. When?
And if I may say that the sports in-depth nation is here. The sports in-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And we're going to talk baseball in a minute. Yeah, we break it real quickly to tomorrow. Kyle, his lovely son, and Celine, his mother, Elkie, and the 15th, the legendary greatest shortstop I've ever seen. Edgar, plus his father, Devin, the top two goals of Devin, Tony Johnson, on the 28th. Remember my son, who just had one on the 9th. Chloe, on the 7th, was off Independence Day. For Brazil. You gotta remember that too. Wow, it was Brazil, brother. And also, Eric. Always happy birthday to all those people. I'm Buster Moon. Get back to sports in depth. Happy birthday. Your birthday is today. Happy birthday to you. And to everybody from your mother. Let's see two things here. You know, as we move into the postseason, Astros won the 100th game last year, second team in baseball, along with the Dodgers. And I think with that 100th win, I think we've cemented the fact that Dusty Baker is the manager here in the American League.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I think it has some the guy out there with the Mets, I think there's no question, Buck Showalter. I think the last time they both won manager here, they both hit it in the same year too.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, to me, they're they're neck and neck.
No, but Dusty gets it because he's American League, and Buck will get it because he's the National League. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying that they're not, even though they're different leagues, comparatively, they're neck and neck because they're doing good managing. Getting the teams.
Well, this is the first time the Mets have won 90 games in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
First time they've been in the playoff in a long time. Because Dusty's taking his team back. And, we talking before the Jets are down here. It's 27-9 with about 45 seconds in the third quarter.
Well, I don't know. The Jets are expected. That's expected, you know.
DJ said that.
They won a fluke game by a little flim-flam last week, and everybody thought, the Jets are doing great. But then, that's typical of the Jets, you know.
Yeah. And, we're looking for another field goal shot here. Try. Hold on, Dustin. Maybe we can get some more points on the board. Here we go. Another good field goal, so they get the back on the board. So it's a 27-12. But the thing that DJ and I said, you needed the other 8 points to go with this, which means you got a 27-20 game even in the football game. You can't keep going down in the red zone and come away with field goals.
And then some of those passes which are catchable, Doc. I mean, I mean, they were good yardage, ground gaining yardage catches, and they were dropped. So and if all those passes were caught, and the worst you could do would be a field goal, my God, they would have been up in the double digit numbers, higher than the 12 that they got now.
If you add 8 more points to 27-20 game. If you had 12 points, it's a 27-24 game. You're a field goal away.
Exactly what I'm saying. But those drop passes, which to me were catchable, and of course, Flacco is, I was telling my son, David, that Flacco reminded me of the baseball's, boxing's Triple G. He's been injured. He's been this. He's been that. But they gave him one more shot to drive the Jets into contention, and he's not doing it. He's substituting for the injured starting quarterback, and he's not doing it. So, what do you expect? The same old Jets season every season. It seems to me that our football team, the Giants, are just the floor mats of every other team. If they win, it's a fluke.
Let's go back to baseball again. I think right now it's unequivocally that the American League MVP has to be Aaron Judge.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, when he hit the 60, okay, and now he has the Roger Maris's family following him all over the place, waiting for that 61. I mean, he has to be the MVP, MVP of the league, But I'm glad you said that because it reminded me of something you said. Correct me if I'm wrong, man. Actually, the most prolific one season. Correct me if I'm wrong because maybe I got my record straight, but. The one season home run hitter, home run king, was Barry Bonds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was 71, 72, or something like that?
73.
And because of the allegations, that thing is put aside, is erased. Yeah, and no publicity out there. And I'm saying, and of course, they're making this a big deal with Judge because, of course, as a Yankee, he broke Joe DiMaggio, now tie up with Roger Maris, and if he is 62, he's going to be the home run king of the Yankees, but still very far short of Barry Bonds in the season. And now, just yesterday or 2 days ago, Albert Pujols hit number 700. And there was a notable, just a little item in the paper, but not as big as they're doing with this Roger Maris thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, Listen, we're going to take a musical break and then hold tight. Okay, don't move. Here we go. It's a Sunday, and in tradition, remember Howard Jackson, Sunday Morning Classics. Some music for you on Sunday. It's Kirk Willem.
Get You're listening to Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. It's Doc Stanley and his posse, where we rope the rumors, false side issues, and brand the truth. Trust in God.
Hi, Jeff Schatt. We'll bring you in here. There's really not a lot to say here. We want to salute Nick Mangold, a 19th member of the New York Jets Ring of Honor, number 74, 29th pick in the first round by the Jets back in the day. As a DJ, sports writer from the New York Beacon, said, concurred, Jets have been constantly shooting themselves in the foot. You know, you get a turnover, can't get a first down. You can't keep going down the jump shot and getting two goals when you should be getting points. It's a psychological advantage for the defense, and the Jets just haven't played a good football game, making last week's win look more like really a mirage than anything else.
A fluke.
Yeah. Camp Shot?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Can you hear us?
Yeah, hear you.
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, respond.
You broke up. What was the question?
No, we just...
I didn't hear
the saying.
Yeah, I'm en route. I'm in travel, so...
Oh, okay. All right. Well, no. Basically, also you're not watching the game, so then that's irrelevant. We just want to salute Dick Mango for 19th member of the New York Jets Ring of Honor.
Oh, okay.
Was it Craig also the same time, the same nomination, or was he mentioned, Joe Klecko?
Joe Klecko is in the Jets Ring of Honor.
Oh, he is a ring. I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And his number's been retired, I think, by the team.
Okay. Got you. Okay. I stand corrected. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Jeff said, we were just saying that we're on Sloop Mango. You know, team member of the Ring of Honor, number one pick for the Jets, 29th overall pick. Overall, I think he's gone Hall of Famer. But in general, not a very good game today for the Jets. They're down 27-12. Constantly made some mistakes. I mean, like Gutsy said, it unquestionable. Makes last week's win over Browns a fluke. Jump shot.
Yeah. I haven't been watching the Jets game today. I've been on the road, so I can't really comment on the game itself. I'll just give a shout out. Congratulations to Nick Monaco for his induction into the Jets Ring of Honor. He's also, if I'm not mistaken, the second or even the third center in Jets history to be awarded that. I believe Kevin Maui, so a center, and is also in the Jets Ring of Honor as well.
Hmm. Let's go to something that you brought up, which you always do. And, you know, it's an interesting fact. You know, when people talk about, well, what black pitcher has won the most games? And right away, it's Bob Gibson. Or ain't Bob Gibson. Now, Bob Gibson's way off. The guy has won about 50 more games than Gibson. And he's only 16 games away from 300. Is the great Canadian, Mr. Ferguson. You know, Ferguson Jenkins. You know, nobody talks about him, you know. But I wanted to talk to you about, and you mentioned, the passing of the late, great Murray Wilk. It's part of that all switching in infield from the field at third base. Murray Wilk at shortstop. Junior Gilliam at second base. And Wes Barker. So they had an all switching in infield with the first guy to steal 100 bases, the first black captain of the Dodgers, and one of the big stars that made the Dodgers a very successful team, you know, that moved to L.A. So some thoughts into Jump Shot on Murray Wilk, number 30, Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, certainly you know, we give him his props. You know, God rest his soul. You know, his contribution to the game of baseball, and especially to the Dodger organization. You know, during a time where, you know, the team was still, there was still a lot of uneasiness, I guess, with the transition from Brooklyn to Los Angeles. You know, but the Dodgers, the one thing about the Dodgers, good, bad, and different, they recognize the talent of a lot of black athletes. And, you know, in spite of the times that all this was taking place, they were not.
You want to come back?
They were not reluctant. They were not reluctant.
Yeah, couldn't leave shortly anyway.
The Dodgers,
talk about the Dodgers
that were not, you know, they were not reluctant and, you know, reaching out to and bringing on talent like Maury Wills and many other black players. You know, that was a tradition that was established once the color line was broken, and they continued that tradition when they moved out to Los Angeles. And Maury Wills was
Ricky.
One of those byproducts.
Yeah, and it was said, you know, Wills spent a lot of time because, you know, with the quota system and career research and shortstop. But I thought about the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers had, first of all, you know, Jackie Robinson was not only the first black player in Major League Baseball and on the Dodgers. Jackie Robinson was the first player, period, black, green, white, yellow, to win the Rookie of the Year. Then you go on, Don Newcomb, who was one of the Reds, one of the few people who won Rookie of the Year, Cy Young and MVP. Don Newcomb was the first man ever to win the Cy Young Award when it came out. The Rookie of the Year Award came out. It was given to one player, both leagues. Jackie won that. And the Cy Young Award came out in 1956. Another Dodger wins the award in his first year at reception. Hold on, Jim Shatter. I just wanted to get his.
Mm-hmm.
Chester got some very horrible calls against him. It was no game changer. I'm just talking about the fact that when you talk about the Dodgers, you're talking about not only the inception of black players, but the black players that excelled, and more importantly, like I said, when the Rookie of the Award, the year came out of award in 1947, it was given to one player that represented both leagues. Jackie Robinson won it. In 1956, when the Cy Young Award was brought into Major League Baseball, the first player to win that award was a Dodger, Don Newcomb, and also became the first player ever to win the Cy Young and MVP in one season. And then you look at Roy Campanella, who became the first catcher and the first black player to win the MVP award three times, 1951, 1953, 1955, and held the record at one time for the most home runs by a catcher in a season with 41. So when you talk about the inception of black players in baseball, you look at the Dodgers organization that only saluted them and magnified the abilities that they had, because Jackie became the first ever Rookie of the Year Award winner when a Rookie of the Year Award was given out in his first year, both leagues. Now, if you look at what the Dodgers did from a black perspective, Jackie became the first MVP, the first Rookie of the Year, the first black player to win the batting championship. Glenn Campanella became the first black catcher, the first black player to win three MVP awards. And in the tradition of Rookie of the Year Award winners, Tony Gillen won Rookie of the Year Award, Don Newcomb won the Rookie of the Year Award as member of the Dodgers. So you salute the Dodger organization. Was believed that O'Malley did not want to leave to L.A., but the powers that be didn't want to give him the ballpark that he wanted. I heard he wanted to build a ballpark down where the Barclays Center is, and a dome ballpark at that. So, but I did hear too that he had some problems with Jackie Robinson, but as far as, and that's because after playing Freaky Man. But you, like I said, you got to take your hat off for the. Also, going back to the Dodgers.
Maury Wills being
Hold on, Jim. Okay. Also, going back to the Dodgers, Tommy Davis became the first black player to win the batting championship, if I'm correct, back-to-back and lead the league, you know, in hits and stuff. So just saluting the Dodgers for their recognition of more than the black players. Go ahead about the game-changing ability of Murray Rose, who I thought in 1962 should not have won the MVP. I thought Willie Mays should have won it in 1962. But I'd have been happy with co-winners. You know, but I thought Willie Mays, 49 home runs, beating the Giants into the World Series. But, you know, if it wasn't Willie, you know, I could live with Murray. Like I said, if you know, you're not going to make Chamberlain the greatest player ever, Russell, I can live with Michael Jordan. But just try to go with your thought on the change, dream changing ability of Murray Rose, and you're right, first man to win MVP and still over 100 bases in Major League Baseball history. Quite a jump shot.
Right. Yeah, you got to really have a special season to even contend for the most valuable player in a league that had Mays, Aaron, and so many other.
Clemente, Koufax.
Clemente, Robinson.
Frank Robinson.
Still in the
Frank
National
Robinson,
League
yeah.
then.
Ernie
so
Banks.
You got,
Ernie
when I'm
Banks.
Saying game changer, I'm talking about also the 60s, even though that was the beginning of the 60s, you know, was driven by, you know, these high-profile dominant pitchers, you know, between Bob Gibson starting to come into his own, Sandy
Drysdale.
Koufax coming into his own,
Drysdale,
Gibson, Juan Marichal,
Jim Maloney,
but what,
Jim Maloney.
Maury Wills, he changed the game was the base-stealing aspect, and stealing almost 100 bases in a season was really unheard of for the most part during the time when pitching was really the big play. It was really the era of the pitcher in the 60s. But Maury Wills, you know, was a game changer in terms of how you can manufacture runs and steal bases and cause havoc on the baseball field. And he was a good fielder also, shortstop.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not only that, you know, you look at him to get on base that often with, you know, really not a very high batting average. So, yeah, take your hat up to him. Yeah, question about it. No question about it. Okay, gentlemen, we're probably going to run in a minute or two, but jump shot while we got you here. I just concluded with Dusty that without question, MVP of the American League has to be Aaron Judge, and I think the manager of the year of the American League has to be Dusty Baker, and the manager of the National League has to be our guy out with the Mets, Buck Showalter. Reaction to that accusation?
No, you can't. Those choices, that's probably how it's going to happen. I'm not going to, however, I will say this only because it's never happened in the history of the game. If Dave Roberts, whose team has won the National League West and clinched almost 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
and especially if they get close to the Mariners' record, all-time win record in a season of 116 victories. They get close to that, tie it or break it, and Dave Roberts ends up with the manager of the year in the National League, along with Dusty Baker in the American League. I won't be disappointed with two black managers winning manager of the year in the same league.
Yeah, you better
you're right on the money because Roberts has been a workhorse, a plow horse for that team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what? You guys use a good point because they're going to tell you though that Roberts had a better team. They're going to tell you that Roberts was expected to win. They're going to tell you that Showalter was not expected to win. But you're right.
Yeah.
You know, I look at you're right. He's close to that. He's got 104 wins now. So he could get closer to 116. Dusty Baker has they played I think a little better. How do you win 100 games and not play good? But, you know, they've got 9 games left. You know, if they ran the streak, they have 109 wins. I think it is unquestionably Dusty, American League manager. But you're so right about, and everybody's overlooked what a great job he has done there, but he's taken for granted. You know, it's like, you know, you expect Jordan to get 30, you expect Willie Mays to hit 40 home runs, you know, you expect Tiger Woods to win a tournament. So I think, you know, but it will be that mindset that would allow Buck to win it. But if you, it's just no question, though, gentlemen, that had you reversed the complexion of both those men, hands down, that'd be the Dodger manager. Hands down.
Yeah, and he would probably, like you said, the Dodgers were the expected team. They were the expected team, Doc. However, I'll tell you this. Remember last year, they actually didn't win the division. In that National League West, you had two teams that both won over 100 games. The Giants actually won the division. The Dodgers, who also won over 100 games, came in as one of the wild cards.
Yeah.
But this year, the Giants went the other way, and the Dodgers took their game up another notch. And if he does get somewhere close to that mark, you gotta give him some kudos there. Although when the Mariners won 116 games under Lou Piniella that season, which is the all-time record, they didn't even get to the World Series. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if they got to the American League Championship Series that year. But they hold the record for 116.
Good tremendous point.
Wow.
Well, gents, we're going to run. It's been a blast, as always. Give you an update here. Got about 7 minutes left here. Jets are taking the beating 27-12. We want to salute, once again, Aaron Judge, as he's moving toward the all-time home run record in the American League. We want to salute Albert Pujols, one of the few guys hit 7 home runs, probably the greatest right-handed hitter in Chicago under St. Louis history. And we also want to take our hats off to Dusty Baker and the Astros, despite losing Verlander and two other top pitchers, still winning 100 games, still winning the division. I think right now they're the favorites over the American League. Doc Stanley, sports on that block, Doc Radio, the Trusting Garvey Network, MetLife Stadium, Jumpshot Jonesy, and Dusty Jumpshot. Some parting thoughts before we close out.
Yeah. I'll let Dusty go.
Thank you. I'm the senior man, so you better let me go first.
Absolutely.
Yeah, carry on, gentlemen. We're getting ready to close out.
Yeah, well, we expect the Jets, unless there's a miracle comeback, to lose again. You know, it was a shock that they won that team. They won last week, and now they're getting murdered by it over two teams. So that's the role of the Jets. But to talk about my favorite sport, we have a banner of mega fights coming up, and the most anticipated was, you know, it's funny about business and boxing. Let me just finish this.
We gotta run.
Negotiated, they're in the process. Everything is done, but yet there's no finite definition that, and the contracts are not even signed. So I hope it doesn't go into next year. But they're talking about late October, early November.
Okay, Jumpshot, you got to go. Jumpshot, we're going to run. We're going to run. Come on, Jumpshot, let's go.
Congratulations to Albert Pujols, 700 home runs, fourth.
Absolutely.
Major League to ever do that. Congratulations to him.
And there's no question he's the first ballot Hall of Famer.
No doubt.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Dusty,
tell everybody good night in Spanish for us.
Buenas noches, todo mundo. Cuídense, Jumpshot. God bless you. Take care of yourself. Be well. And that's in English. Take care of yourself. Doc, I'll talk to you later. Everything's okay. Gracias por todo.
Okay, guys. And that, have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Jumpshot. Okay. And with that, we're getting ready to roll here. Sports and Death Block Talk Radio, Trusting Garvey Network.
Doc, before you go, did you find out the result of the Mayweather martial arts fight last night, pay-per-view?
No,
he was fighting some dude in Japan.
Really?
Yeah, well, I'm going to look into but YouTube and see you fighting some mixed martial arts guy in Japan making buku bucks. So
again,
it was on pay per view. So I don't know what the hell's going on. Well, okay, anyway, I'm going to look into.
Okay, thanks, Dust. 10-4, baby.
All right, God bless. Take care, everybody. Take care. All right.
Okay, and with that, Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way.
There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
Fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
A bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live
for life.
Live for life. Life. Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the baby.
And if I may say that the sports in-depth nation is here. The sports in-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable.com. Take it away, good doctor.
And with that, we're getting ready to run. We want to thank our Sports Posse members, Steve, Dusty, and Jim Chuck and Jonesy, and our guest, renowned New York sports writer, Daryl Johnson, and the family of the beginning. Yes, on the losing end here with about 2 minutes to go. It's 27-12. That's the Super Bowl contending Cincinnati Bengals. But really, they had a little more to it. Let me see. No good.
Used to be
the
way
Mr. Field goal. So the Jets will get the ball with two men left. Or have 2 minute warning. A chance to get a touchdown here. If they do or they don't.
Every now and
not
then
enough.
I find some comfort.
Black fans wasn't the block that ready.
But if a free kick tempo
ready.
I try to tell myself that it was just a game.
Sports it up from Melbourne. Doc Stanley Senior, his esteemed sports posse member Dusty, Champ Shot Jonesy, and guests, renowned New York sports writer Daryl Johnson from the Family of the Beacon. And Sports and Depth is an in-depth corner. Here is Chase, a sharper look at the world of sports. And this is renowned next award winning radio show, Sports and Depth. Advice for both in daily and historical perspective, but also both an in-depth look at the perspective not only on the sports of our time, to the players, look more at the sentiment both now and yesterday. Sports and Depth, a.k.a. SID, also brings us a unique strategy of a sports from an intellectual perspective. I just have an expert that didn't take the law, and give the time for listening. Two traits of God bless mind you with passion, determination, intellect, competing, and accomplishing too. Then that knowledge is that our intellect. Nothing like possible sports and death is too. The world like that. And again, it's not again, we'll go both of these. All set of issues, and the last set of issues, brand new truth. Salute to Albert Hall. 4,700, that's a Baker. Been waiting for him and the Astros. I'm saying he was one. That is the one. Being your best at your very best, the best, holding greatness. Purity, righteousness, wretched too often, in one's own head and mind. You can be in a crowd and be all alone, and be crowded while alone. Too often one is waiting on tomorrow, on election today. I send these words of wisdom and truth, a.k.a. to who read these words of wisdom. I am supposed to the Blog Talk Radio. And trust in God, the network, for the bottom of my heart. If you don't trust in God, Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio. And trust in God, the network, trust in God, 100%. Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio. Trust in God, the network. Thanks for being with us. Us and God.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Trust in God. Do 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 do.
Once again, thank you, Jingles, and goodbye, my heart. God bless you all. Yes, and God. And everyone said, that guy wasn't a blind stuff radio. Not that life, that's where it's all about. Bengals 27, Jets 12. Jets now, Bulls 1 and 2. Back then, it was the blast of fate.
Running used to be
God,
the way I passed.
We gotta
the
run. Just in time. 100%.
All over town and just to see what I could find. Every now and then I find some comfort. But give a free kiss, temporary. Try to tell myself that it was just a game. I'd run again to try and ease that lonely pain. No matter where I traveled, there I'd be, stuck in those walls of skin called me. And I was just running to find something true. And I'd just be running with nothing to prove. And I kept on running and had nothing to show. They all saw me running and said, there he goes. You caught my eye one day while I was on a run. How you made me feel my life had just begun. Oh, I'd seen the last of all my roaming days. Cause I knew from you I'd never run away. Now you've got me running to get home to you. And my heart keeps running when I think of things you do. And I won't be running to no one else, no more. They all see me running and say that's love for sure. And I'm not hesitating, no. As soon as work is done, yeah. Fast that my leg can carry me. Life ain't complicated, oh no. You've got only one heart, one joy, one place to be. Now I'm watching people running all around, chasing after things that'll just run them down. Life is so much better if they change their ways. I wish I could tell them, but you know I can't stay. Cause I gotta get running and get home to you.
Gotta get home,
and my heart keeps running when I think of things you do.
Think about the things
and
you
I
do.
Won't be running. There's no one else, no one no more.
Never,
they all see me running.
Running,
when I think of things you do,
you make my heart.
What, Bubba? Yeah, right.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Oh, there was a woman in the Bible days. She had been sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by. So she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying to do? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. She cried, oh. Touch me. She said it was I who just want to touch the hem.
So I